Listen to shoot the defense. It's unbelievable, Jeff.
Hello, welcome to Shoot the Defense on Radio Football and StadiumScene.tv. I'm your host, Del, and joining me is actor, musician, and Arsenal fan, Brandon Watts, also known as Tops. Tops, great to have you in the show, mate. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm brilliant, mate. Thank you for having me on. It's great to make my debut here. So, I'm glad to be on, man. Thanks for having me on.
No, thank you very much. Hopefully, it'll be the first of many appearances, my friend.
Of course.
Let's just hope you don't get too big for us. Do you get what I'm saying?
Nah, never, man. I'm a humble guy, bro.
Nice to hear. Tops, where are you actually from, man?
Yeah, from Derby, actually, Derby. In the Midlands. Okay. Yeah, from Derby, man.
Okay, up the A50 or the A500.
Yeah. So, yeah. It's not a bit area, man.
No, it's all right, man. I've been there a couple of times, actually. It's all right. It's pretty quiet, yeah, though, to be fair.
Yeah, it's quite quiet. But, it's a nice area, to be fair.
Mm-hmm. So, tell me something. You're obviously an actor and a musician. Where did it all start for you? Where did you get your influences from, so to speak?
Well, it's kind of a thing where I think it was always in my personality, I think. Growing up as a kid, I was definitely like probably the life and soul of the party, my mum used to say. And I always was like an energetic kind of kid, like to like play up, like have a lot of fun when I was younger. And I just think it just kind of just went from there, really. I definitely like to watch, even how weird as it sounds, I think definitely one of my influences is probably wrestling, to be honest with you. When I was a kid, I used to watch it quite a lot. And I used to be intrigued by all the different characters. When I was like 9 or 10 years old, and I always used to think to myself, I definitely could like play one of these kind of characters just for the fun of it, kind of thing. So it kind of stemmed from there, really. And then when I got older, it was definitely something that I was interested in. And then obviously I learned how difficult it was to get into the industry. The acting industry is so competitive, just in terms of how many spots is available and how many people want to actually become an actor or actress. So from there, really, I just tried to get my influences from films that I've watched as well. People like Will Smith, Denzel Washington, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio. They're a couple of actors that I look up to and, try to, base my acting ability on. So from that, really watching films and wrestling and stuff like that, I think that's what really got me into acting. And in terms of like being a musician and stuff, I think it's literally, that was, obviously we'll come onto the song later, but in terms of being a musician, it's not really something that I like. I've done like musicals in the past, which is based off acting and stuff. But singing's never really been my kind of thing. But I just thought I'd try something a bit different. And we came up with the song. So I think that's probably been my influences, mate.
Nice. So you mentioned wrestling. Which wrestlers did you look up to? Which ones really got you on the edge of your seat?
Oh yeah, it's got to be The Rock, man. Guy, yeah, he definitely was, man. He was my man, The Rock, man. His charisma, oh man, his jokes, his comedic timing, just everything about him. He was my favorite.
So we're talking about The Rock. That was after the Nation of Domination, where he kind of came into his own.
Yeah. Probably that kind of stage where, like you said, he came to his own. Obviously, he was getting booed quite a lot before that kind of like Nation of Domination kind of group, and he joined, and then that's when he really showed his like personality, charisma, and after that he was just untouchable for years, literally just probably the best entertaining thing I was watching on wrestling. Yes. And obviously now he's transitioned to movies, which is kind of ironic considering that's what I want to do. So definitely got to be The Rock for me.
I can imagine, because I remember, I mean, you say that you were 9 or 10, I was 18, 19 during the Attitude era. And, I remember when The Rock first came in as Rocky Maivia, wearing the blue trunks and the tassels and all that kind of stuff. And people were saying, die, Rocky, die. And they really turned against him. And then he went into the Nation of Domination with Farouk and obviously Owen Hart, D'Lo and all these other ones. And it was a remarkable storyline, because back then, TV was very edgy. It was very cutting edge. I remember when South Park was released and all the stuff that they had then, should I say, you couldn't get away with it now. And a lot of the stuff that The Rock said, even after the transition from The Nation to obviously his own kind of character, you couldn't get away with that stuff now. Watch WWE now. I mean, I haven't really been paying too much attention because it's so watered down these days. It's not as entertaining as what it used to be. And, it's not the same. It really isn't the same. There aren't any characters out there with that kind of charisma. I think maybe I don't know, Bray Wyatt with that little angle he's got at the moment, and possibly Kevin Owens. But apart from those two, I can't really think of anyone else. So, you know, that era that we were watching the WWE with your Stone Colds, your Mankinds, Triple H's, you know, D-Generation X, we're not going to really get that back, are we?
No, I don't think so, mate. I think there's a lot of like elements that have allowed it to become so watered down. The fact that, you know, WWE is now a public traded company, so there's certain sponsorships they've got now that they can't really be testing the waters on, just in terms of, you know, going over the edge, especially with that PG kind of like standpoint that they've got on their product at the minute. And just how, you know, everything seems to be so much more scripted now. We've heard people like Triple H and The Rock and Stone Cold say that their best work is, you know, things coming off the cuff, things that are not scripted. Like, I've heard Stone Cold say, you know, the whole Austin 316 was literally off the cuff. He wasn't supposed to say it, but he just came out with it. And that's what really, you know, made him blow, to be honest with you. Same with all the Rock stuff, his catchphrases and that. And I think now with WWE, it's just very heavily scripted, you know. You can tell that the same writer has been writing for all the wrestlers, where you need them to come up with their own individual stuff. That's why I think Bray Wyatt does stand out, just because he's probably one of the only ones that comes up with his own original material and what he wants his character to be, where as everyone else is kind of like the same old. So I think that's what helps it to be that watered-down kind of generic version, where we don't get them charismatic superstars on a weekly basis like was in the Attitude Era. Yeah. But I've got to agree with you, man. I don't think we're going to get those days back, to be fair.
Well, what do you make of the whole Saudi Arabia thing? Because I know they've got the big push on the women's division, you know, the women's revolution, as they called it and whatnot. And then they're signing a 10-year agreement with Saudi Arabia to take wrestlers over there, and to be honest, it's kind of hypocritical, isn't it?
Yeah, I've got to agree, mate. I mean, I do think WWE, they're trying to do decent stuff, especially with the women's division, trying to get that elevated so it's equal to the men. But like you said, it comes at like a hypocritical angle, and I think at the end of the day, money talks. Saudi Arabia's paying them a lot of money to be there for that 10-year stretch, and whether you agree with where the money's coming from or not, WWE have took it. So I think by their standpoint as well, we've already agreed to deal with these guys, and they've already paid us all this money. So we've got to deliver here. We've got to deliver all these shows. And even when it's not, you know, politically correct in terms of what they're trying to push with the women and stuff, and how the, you know, the views of Saudi Arabia are, I think that's where the conflict comes. Like, you can't really be promoting women revolution where Saudi Arabia, in terms of how they view women in that country, is not obviously on the same wavelength as, you know, in this culture or in like Western culture kind of thing. So, yeah, I think that's where they've got quite a lot of stick, and probably rightfully so, really, because people are struggling to understand how you can take money from one part of the world who have certain views of women and stuff like that, but then try and promote women equality on the other hand. So yeah, I can see why people are getting upset about that, to be fair.
That's right. And you use the word culture there, and let's talk about social media, which has kind of become a culture now, in the sense that everyone's got their own views and they're using different platforms, be it Instagram or Twitter or Facebook, to air their views and opinions. And it's much more vocal as what it used to be. Obviously, we didn't have the internet. Well, we did have the internet back in the day, but it was like 56K modem, and we only had chat rooms and all that kind of stuff, which I'm not going to go into. But, you know, you've released a track called Social, which is obviously about social media. I've seen the video. At the beginning, there's a little bit of a Michael Dapper thing going on there, wasn't it, with a phone call and you being in bed and whatnot. Tell me, what, obviously, I'm not going to ask you what influenced you to do it, because, you know, the tagline is right there, social media, but did something trigger it for you to release a song like that? Has something actually happened to you on social media for you to release a track like that?
Well, yeah, so basically, as I was saying before, obviously, I'm an actor and stuff, and I've been doing like a lot of short films and things, trying to get a bit of attention, but I just thought that, you know, I wanted to try something a bit outside the box that maybe people weren't going to be expecting from me. So, I was thinking, and me and my brother were talking and stuff, and we thought, well, there's not really a song about social media, even though everybody uses it in like everyday life, whether, you know, you're 12 or you're 65, everyone's on some kind of form of social media, like you said, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, whatever. And I just thought, why is there not a song about, you know, what people go through on social media, whether it's being trolled or, having a debate or having laughs or, you know, talking to girls or whatever it could be. There's so much things that go on, and there's not really a song that can generalize all of that in one like particular track. So yeah, me and my brother were thinking, and then we were just like, you know what? Why don't we just like write something that can, you know, summarize what everyone goes through? And obviously, with my experiences on there with social media, with, you know, supporting Arsenal and seeing the, you know, the debates that go on there, I thought it was kind of a perfect opportunity to put stuff that I've experienced on there as well, kind of thing. So yeah, me and my brother wrote the song, and then obviously because he's my brother's like a music engineer kind of thing, he like created the track, created the beat, and then we put it together, really put the vocals on there and stuff, and yeah, that's how it kind of came about. It was definitely something that I don't think many people were expecting from me, and I think it's a song that anyone can relate to, whether, you know, you're Stormzy or you know the average Joe on the street. I think anyone and everyone has been through certain elements of the song on social media at some point in their life, if you've been using it. So yeah, I think it's definitely a song that can resonate with a lot of people. And yeah, with the video, I definitely wanted to incorporate some kind of acting in the start kind of thing, just to show that I was, you know, quite versatile in terms of, you know, be able to sing the song and also, you know, act in the video as well. So yeah, that's kind of the thought process behind that kind of thing. So yeah, I was definitely happy with how it all turned out, to be honest, mate.
Well, you must be pleased with the numbers that you're getting, because you got over 2,000 views on YouTube. I think it's at 2,700 at the moment.
Yeah.
You got it. I think that one of the local papers put an article on their website about it, wasn't it? Wasn't it the Derbyshire Live website? I think it was on that one. So it's going better than I presume you expected.
Absolutely, mate. Listen, this is I'm not an artist. Obviously I am now, but that was never my mindset of being like an artist. You know, I didn't have a fan base. I didn't have any songs. This is my first ever song ever I've ever done. So to get this kind of response in terms of the views, I know how hard it is to get views on your own channel, especially when you've not got a fan base for them to go to. Like, to get over like 2,000, nearly 3,000 in under a month is absolutely brilliant, considering the position that I was in. And also, yeah, the fact that Derby Telegraph have picked it up, considering the success the song's had, my first ever song, is just more than I could have ever imagined, really. I didn't think this song would make that much of an impact in this short space of time. So I've got to be grateful and humble about that, because, you know, this doesn't happen to everyone. And the fact that it's happened on my first ever song is, I'm truly grateful about that, absolutely.
And you didn't even realise it was an EastEnders until someone pointed out to you, didn't you?
yeah, it's kind of a crazy thing. I mean, we're watching it one night, probably one of the replays on BBC iPlayer, and my brother came to me and was like, I think they've used the song Social, and I was like, what? And then obviously we were both like excited, and I couldn't believe what was happening, like, oh my God, this is amazing, kind of thing, like, they've actually used the song. And then yeah, we looked into it, and yeah, they've actually used it 6 times. I know the article.
Oh, wow.
They put it in, said 5 times, but we realised that they've used it an extra time. So the bosses at EastEnders really do like the song, and I've got to be grateful about that they've liked it enough to be, you know, pick it on with the biggest soap in probably British history. And the fact that I'm not even signed, or because at the time when they used it, I didn't even have a video. The video wasn't even out yet. You know, so I'm an unknown artist, and they've picked me over probably some of the biggest artists in the UK now who have got a fan base and who've been signed. So to think that that's happened to me is just absolutely brilliant, and definitely proud of myself for achieving that. It's fantastic, absolutely.
Has anyone at the BBC actually contacted you about this, or has anyone given you any feedback? Because as you said, it came from out of the blue, so they found it from somewhere. Do you know how, or was it just...
Yeah, I think it was a case where, you know, we had put it on Spotify, we had put it on Amazon and stuff like that. And yeah, we've been in contact with one of the EastEnders bosses just to say thank you for using it and stuff like that. And they said that they really like the song. They think that is quite current to like fan base that they're trying to target to, like with the teenagers and everyone else that uses social media and stuff. And I think that's one of the main reasons why they use it, and I think it's quite a catchy tune as well. So yeah, it's just definitely one of those things where you know, it's caught their eye just in terms of the social topic of the song, and you know, the production of it as well as you know, it being quite catchy in their eyes. So absolutely fantastic, and I'm happy that they picked it, to be fair. And yeah, this is something that, you know, you'd only dream of, it being in EastEnders. And the amount of times as well is just unheard of, really, for an unsigned artist. So, yeah, definitely grateful, man.
Absolutely. Well, I've already downloaded it on Amazon, so you don't worry
Thank
about
you,
that.
Brent.
And, I've played it on Alexa a couple of times, and my daughter's been dancing around the room with it, so, you know.
Oh, that's brilliant. I'm glad to hear that, man. That's great, man.
Fortunately, I've got a daughter with good taste in music. I mean, every now and again, she'll say, Alexa, can you play something? Actually, Joe, I'm not going to say that name because she's actually going to go off on one right now. I can see the blue light lighting up. I've said, Alexa, don't worry about it. It's fine. Stop. So it's a catchy tune as well, and you've received a lot of love on social media about it, a lot of your friends and people have been mentioning it, so yeah, long may it continue, my friend. Have you got any other songs in the pipeline?
Yeah, definitely working on definitely other tracks and stuff, just trying to get some carrying the momentum with this one at the minute, but yeah, definitely got some other stuff in the pipeline. You know, just looking for that, you know, some booking agents or some you know, managers. If you're listening to this, obviously, just give me a message. It's top updates on, you know, Instagram, Twitter, on Facebook as well. So, yeah, if you definitely need anyone to perform for you, or you're looking to sign a new up-and-coming artist, I'm your guy. So, yeah, just putting that out there. But, yeah, definitely got some more songs in the pipeline, absolutely. So you'll have to wait and see for that one, mate.
Well, you know you've made it when it's on Love Island.
That's the target.
Get on Love Island. Grace, well, look, talk to me about these small films that you're doing, the short films that you're doing. I know that you've done Repentance, you've done a couple as well, for Virtual Brutality, Delirium. Are these produced or directed by yourself or your brother, or just people that you know in the industry?
No, with all these projects, they're done by quite a few different people. Some people that are from, like, uni doing, like, film and media and stuff, and they needed a couple of actors kind of to try and, you know, test what their ideas. And I think the short films have gone better than I thought, to be honest with you, just in terms of the stories they've been coming up with and the different camera angles. Some very talented people that have been producing it. And with, like, the Repentance storyline, that was... competition that we entered, it was like a 24-hour kind of competition where we had to create a story, create a story, film it, edit it, and send it off in 24 hours. So that film was actually done in a space of a day. So to achieve something of that kind of quality in a day, where we didn't have an idea of what we were doing literally the day before, was absolutely brilliant. And I think that's gone down quite well. And yeah, I'm just trying to do a range of different characters, a range of different short films. People obviously have been reaching out to me to be in their short film after seeing, you know, the previous short films I've been in, like Fatal Brutality and Repentance and stuff like that. I've got another, like, a short film coming out. I think it's called Psychopath that I'm the main character in. That should be coming out later out this month. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to you guys seeing that as well. But, yeah, I've just been really busy, man, short films. And, you know, obviously the music video and doing the music and stuff. So, yeah, but it's been a busy year for me so far. So I'm hoping to keep it up.
Well, fingers crossed, mate, because obviously you've got a lot of talent. I'm not just saying this because you're my guest. It's, you know, I don't have talentless people in the show, you know. It's just...
Thank you, man.
Apart from myself. I'm the only talentless person on this platform, I promise.
Oh, never.
All right, cool. Well, I'll tell you what, talk to me about your favourite team. I know you're an Arsenal fan. It's been a bit of a tricky couple years. In fact, this summer, it must be the most frustrating summer for you guys, because the only thing you guys got to talk about is a kit launch.
Tell me about it, bro. Like, oh, obviously, after the, you know, the disappointment of last season, the battering in the Europa League final, the fact that we only got 7 points out of the last 8 games and we only needed one more victory to get into the top four. Yeah, it's just been disappointing, and the club have not really been active as a minute. Obviously, we've got the young Brazilian Martinelli. Apparently, he's been very good in Brazil, but he's more one for the future. But we need defenders, man. We need a lot of defenders.
Mm-hmm.
After our defence, we were just ripped apart game after game last season. And yeah, definitely a winger as well. And I don't know, man. With Arsenal, it's a tricky one. You never know how much money they're going to spend each year, whether it's nothing or 40 mil or 70 mil. So, I think every Arsenal fan's just been waiting for us to just get moving, really. We we all, as our fan base, we definitely need to ship out quite a lot of deadwood in the club. Players that are, you know, surplus to requirements, people like your Mustafis, your Koscielnys, your Monreals, people like that that have been key to that defence being so awful the last couple of years. I think a lot of Arsenal fans are happy to see, you know, a different, a big change in terms of them players being shifted out and a new bunch of defenders being shifted in. But at the minute, it doesn't really seem like there's been much traffic in terms of players going out or in. But it's still obviously only the start of June. The window ends in the start of July. Sorry, the start of July. The window ends in the start of August. So we've still got a month to try and get our act together. But I think we'll go on tour next week to America. So in terms of players making the tour, I don't think it's going to be that many. Only Martinelli that we've signed so far. So yeah, just literally holding out and waiting that we can get some deals done, mate, to be honest.
Yeah, it just seems like a case of Arsenal need to sell before they can buy.
Yeah,
and, especially with the lack of the Champions League money, the commercial revenue may be increased. I'm not sure if they've been working on that in the background. I don't know if it's like United, whereby they agree deals with mattress partners and noodle partners. I haven't seen any announcements from Arsenal in that respect. But yeah, you've got a lot of players, as you said. There's a lot of deadwood that needs to go. But there's been a strong link with Wilf Zaha. Now, I've always said, in fact, I've been saying this for the past couple of weeks, even though he's a good player, I really don't think he's the kind of player that Arsenal need at the moment, because you've got so many attacking players. You said it yourself, defensively, that's the place that you need to strengthen. And Unai Emery, as great as he is as a coach, you can tell he can only do so much with what he's got in front of him. And I just don't think that he's been given the financial support that he needs to bring in the players that he wants. In fact, the only player that I believe that he signed, that is actually his signing, was Denis Suarez, which was in January, and that was a loan, and that didn't work out.
Yeah, I've got to agree with you, mate. That's why I've not really been on the manager. I mean, I know a lot of people wanted us to then go out, and at the time, everyone said they were patient, but obviously, you know how people are. They say they're patient, and then when the first season things that go their way, they become impatient. But for me, I'm chilled with him, man. I think you've got to give him time, you've got to give him money, you've got to give him, you know, that period where he can embed his own players and get rid of the Arsene Wenger players that he doesn't seem to be good enough or are not good enough, and get his own players in, and then he can create an own style. I know people have been criticising him, saying that he's not got his own style yet, but I think he's going to need more than a year and more than the 50 million he spent last year to embed his own style. We've definitely not got the personnel to play that high pressing game, that passing from the back that he wants to play. We've just not got a ball playing centre back apart from Holding, and he was injured from like November. We've not got that pressing number 10. We've got Mesut Ozil, who's literally the opposite of that. And these are the key things that he wants in the team for him to play that style he wants to play. And he's not got them, and he's not been given the money to get them. You know, in January, he's saying that he can only get loans, and the one loan he did get, obviously, like you said, it didn't work out. So for me, it's definitely a case of we need to ship players out that are on big wages. Your Mkhitaryans, who's on 200 grand a week, your Mesut Ozil's, who's on 350 grand a week. These players are taking up positions and not putting in the maximum effort and quality that we need in those areas to really warrant them kind of wages that they're paying. So we need to try and ship these guys out. And they're in their like twilight of their career. They're both like 30 plus. We need probably younger players for Unai Emery, if he's going to be here long term, to try and build a team around. And in terms of like the Wolf and Zaha deal, I think it's a case where, like you said, we need to concentrate on the defence first. You know, we've got Hector Bellerin still injured, so and Lichtstein has left the club, so we've only got one official right back. Maitland-Niles has been playing there, but he's definitely a midfielder. He's not a right back or a right wing back, so that's an area we need to address. And in terms of Zaha, I do think we need a winger, because there's a lot of reliance on Lacazette and Aubameyang. You know, we've seen it in the cup final, how Chelsea smartly, you know, they blocked off the supply to Mesut Ozil to those two, and Arsenal were literally toothless. We had no other goal threat, because if neither of them score, you don't know who's going to score for the team. You know, I think our next top scorer is Mkhitaryan with 6, and he had a poor season, so there's not really a lot of goals in the team. So I can see from that perspective why we're trying to get a winger in. But at the same time, the money that they're asking, you know, the 80 million, I just don't think he's a player like that is worth it, you know, especially when there's other alternatives like a Ryan Fraser or a Carrasco or a Zaitic for like half that money. And then we could use the other money to get a couple of centre-backs in or a centre-back in. So for me, I think Unai Emery, he has to be backed in terms of getting the right personnel. If we want to get top four, we need to improve that defence. And obviously, we can improve it defence with so much coaching. But for me, it's definitely going to be something that comes with buying additional quality and then working on what we've got within the squad in terms of the youth system and stuff like that, and mixing it up to try and gain that Champions League spot. And then we can go on from there and hopefully get more money to improve the squad, to make a step forward, to try and challenge for the league. That's the ultimate goal, I think, mate.
Yeah, it just seems that, like United, Arsenal have stood still while the others have improved. And it'll take a while for them to be serious contenders for the title, let alone top four. We saw how both United and Arsenal really flopped the back end of the season and allowed Chelsea and Spurs to cement themselves in the top four. So, yeah, let's see how next season pans out. It doesn't look good, though, does it?
I'm not optimistic, to be honest, at the minute.
You and me both.
So, we'll have to see what happens.
Exactly, mate. Well, look, one more thing before I let you go, and I can't not talk about this. This fella at Glastonbury who got on the stage with Dave... some media outlets are saying he needs a record deal. Logan Zama was like, don't sign him up. what do you make of this? I firmly believe that was a plant. I think he was there.
Really?
Yeah, I think it was a plant. But what do you make of the whole thing?
To be fair, it's one of those things where, because I don't think it was a plant. I think it was actually a general thing, because I have heard that Dave does do this at his concerts, like wherever he goes, like whether it's like an arena or kind of like a small venue, he does pick a fan out of the crowd to sing one of his songs or whatnot. But in terms of obviously the lad, fair play to the kid, man. I mean, he knew all the lyrics. I mean, I think I read he's only like 15, so it takes a lot of bottle, mate, to go on that stage from all those people when, you know, maybe it wasn't planned, maybe it was planned, but to, you know, recite all the lyrics like on the spot or whatever it was in front of all that all the people and not mess up. Fair play to the lad, but in terms of the reaction, you know, it's typical media, isn't it? Just in terms of, you know, everyone wants to lap onto the attention that the guy's getting, and fair play, obviously, the guy you know, did well, and a lot of people are very happy for him, and me too as well, to be fair. Like, you know, he got on stage at Glastonbury. Not many artists, like official signed artists, are going to be able to say that they've done that. And, you know, he, you know, rapped a lyric with probably one of his idols, if not his idols, at, you know, 15 years of age. So fair play to him. But yeah, I've seen the media attention he's getting in terms of, you know, him getting Boohoo deals. And yeah, I think he's got his first PA tonight or something that he's going to do. And
he's in Newcastle, isn't he?
It's crazy how literally one thing can make you go viral, and then literally everyone wants to, you know, a piece of the pie in terms of wanting to get to interview you. I think he's on Good Morning Britain. He's on all these kind of media outlets, and you've got, you know, fair play to the kid, but then you've got other hardworking people who, you know, have got years and years of experience and years and years of talent under their belt, and they can't get a break. Well, then, obviously, this guy has just literally just got one based off, you know, people seeing him on Glastonbury and it going viral on social media. It's just crazy how it works. Like, it doesn't seem like it's like a fair kind of, you know, balancing act. But, you know, I suppose that's how it works, I guess. And yeah, fair play to the kid. He's you just got to capitalize on it now. I mean, he's been put in this position. And yeah, I've seen he's got like nearly 200,000 followers on Twitter. Yeah. And it's just crazy. Like, in the space of like 4 days, he's then he got 200,000-300,000 slices.
Yeah, because I looked at his profile on the Monday. I think it was the Monday morning, and someone on Twitter said, "Yeah, this is him," and he had like 240 followers or something, and he's gone up to 182,000 now.
It's just madness. Like, that's how he can get that much like followers in that space of time. It's just crazy. But yeah, you know what? Fair play to him. You know, he's capitalized on it, or he's going to try and capitalize on it. And yeah, I wish him the best of luck, to be honest with you, mate. Because you know, not everyone can get in that position, so he's got to make the most of it, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, mate, it's been absolutely great having you on the show. I really appreciate your time. Before I let you go, plug the shit out of everything that you've got.
So yeah, thank you, man. Thank you very much for having me. And yeah, just in terms of me, you're going to keep up to date with me. I'm on all social media platforms. It's Tops Updates, no space, on Instagram, on Twitter. I've got my YouTube channel, Tops Updates. That's where you can find my song, Tops Social. Give that a like. Give me a subscribe as well. And give me a view as well. Get those views going up as well. Yeah, on my Instagram as well. I'm posting stuff daily, regularly as well. So follow me on that. Follow me on my Twitter. Tops updates on Twitter as well. I'm posting regularly on that. So yeah, just to keep up to date with me, mate. Following me on all social media platforms. Tops updates. Repentance as well. That's on Goldbox Productions. That's my short film that's recently just come out in April. Go have a watch of that. Have a follow of that. Click that. Subscribe to that as well. And I've got my new short film, Psychopath, coming out, as I said, end of the month. If you want to know when that comes out or when that drops, follow me on all social platforms and I'll definitely be putting it on there. It's been a pleasure talking to you, mate. And thank you for having me on again. Really enjoyed it.
Excellent. We'll do this again sometime, man.
100%, man, 100%.
Excellent. Well, guys, those of you still listening, I hope you enjoyed the show. You can give us a follow on Twitter at Shoot the Defence. We also have a Facebook group page. And if you want to follow me, I don't know why you'd want to, but I'm on Twitter at Uncle Stone. So that's it, guys. Until next time, take care.